Well, hi, happy 4th of July weekend. I'm so thankful for this great land in which we can live and love and work and worship, even in the midst of COVID-19 pandemic and a challenging conversation about racial justice and equality in America. This is still a great place to live. And even when we're worshiping only online for a bit longer, the Lord is with us. So thank the Lord. I'm also very excited to be able to welcome everyone who's local here in North Chi-Lai to our first in-person event next Sunday night, July 12th at 6 p.m. We're going to have a get-together on the lawn across the other side of Orchard Street, family-friendly, bring the kids, and we're going to social distance. You bring your lawn chair or your blanket. There'll be circles painted on the grass, and we'll have a great time together for, I don't know, 40 minutes or so. And then I hear the pièce de résistance is ice cream. So there'll be an ice cream truck there. So join us next Sunday night. I think we're supposed to register online at piercechurch.org, so check it out. Today we begin our summertime series here with Pierce Nation and all of you. And it's Timeless 2.0. If you were around earlier before the whole COVID thing, you know that I was actually doing a series of messages based on the lives of mostly Old Testament Bible characters. We called it timeless because there are life lessons we can all learn even today. In fact, that's the main reason we're doing this, not just to give everybody a bit of an Old Testament refresher, but also to just point out the fact that these stories are in God's Word for a reason. We're in the stories. I call it the nature of human nature. You know, we all need to learn to get along, to love, to reconcile, to forgive, to build healthy relationships. That's certainly at the core of today's story. It's found in Genesis chapter 37. Today we're going to look at the first part of Joseph's life. Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob. And then next week we'll talk about the latter part of his life. So let's pick up the story. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's life family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And actually, they were the handmaids of his father's wives. This is one messed up family. And Joseph brought their father a bad report about his brothers. That's not good. Now, Israel, another name for Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he'd been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. Not good. When his brothers saw that their father loved Joseph more than any of them, they hated him and would not speak a kind word to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, with all your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it." And his brother said, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of the dreams that he told them. Well, you get the idea. I mean, there's another dream and there's more drama, but none of it good. Jacob has one messed up family, and Joseph is right in the middle of it. He has 12 sons by 4 different women. The 11th one in birth order is our man, Joseph, who is the eldest son of Jacob's second and favorite wife, Rachel. Now, if you know your Old Testament, you know that Rachel was the knockout beauty that Joseph loved dearly. She was the mother of his two youngest sons, Joseph and Benjamin. His other wife was Leah, the not-so-beautiful wife, who Jacob had been tricked into marrying. Leah was the mother of the six oldest sons. Now, if you're counting, that's only eight. That's where the other handmaidens came in. They were the mothers of the other four boys, two each, female servants who their mistresses had encouraged to have sex with Jacob in a misguided contest to see who could have the most kids. Talk about a mess. Right off the bat, we're told that Jacob loved Joseph more than any of the others. He made no attempt to hide his feelings for his favorite son. Jacob knew exactly how Joseph was doing in school, what his best subject was, the name of his favorite teacher, how he was doing in track. I mean, you get the idea. But with all the other boys, Jacob was kind of fuzzy on that stuff. In 100 little ways, ways some parents aren't even aware of, but other kids can smell a mile away, Jacob's favoritism for Joseph leaked out. Until one day it took concrete form, that robe. The Hebrew word used to describe this astonishing garment is a bit uncertain. Some say it means a robe with long sleeves, which would have been unusual, or in this translation, richly ornamented. Others say ornate. One says elaborately embroidered. We all know the old King James description. It was the coat of many colors. Whatever it was one of a kind, spectacular, impossible to miss, a symbol of his father's favoritism. The other boys got their coats off the sale rack at TJ Maxx. Jacob bought Joseph's coat at Von Maur. Embedded in this story is the ancient Middle Eastern issue of birthright. Typically, this was given to the eldest son. They became the designated family heir, receiving twice the inheritance of their siblings and becoming the de facto family head for the next generation. Jacob is upsetting the family line. Remember, Joseph is the eldest son of Rachel. Something's going on here. Much more than just a robe. And part of the problem in all of this is that Joseph loves his robe. He wears it all the time. He shows off. It makes him feel special, of course. And every time he wears his daddy loves me robe, his brothers hate him all the more. And then he gives them these dreams of his, you know, dreams that elevate him and depress his brothers, discourage them, make them feel defeated. When his brothers saw their father loved Joseph more than anything, they hated him, the Bible says. Joseph had a dream and told it to his brothers, and when he did, they hated him all the more. And when his brothers said to him, "Do you intend to rule over us? Will you actually rule over us?" they hated him all the more because of the dream. Nothing too subtle about what's going on here. Now, here's the part where we're in the story. Many of us have been part of a family with more than one child. Or we have a family with more than one child. Or in our case, we have five grandkids. Exceptional grandkids. Have I mentioned them? Anyway, it is always a challenge to treat those kids fairly and equally. To be careful about what we say and do. Because favoritism and family rivalry can mess you up, just like in our story. Others grew up where there were more subtle attempts to earn or demand the love of somebody in our family, our dad, our mom, someone. For many of us, the pain of that, though it may be long in the past, is real, long-standing. Some of us are the parents right now. A few of us are maybe the favorite child. Others are the not-so-loved offspring. God has a good word for us even in a story like this. One fateful day, Jacob sends Joseph, whom he loves, who's not working, who's hanging out at the house, out to check on his hard-working brothers. And he tells his favorite son to bring back a report. Not really a good idea. Now, the text says the brothers saw Joseph coming a long way off. Now, how did they see him? How did they know him if he was a long way off? He's wearing the robe. Now, they cannot contain their anger and rage. This thing has been cooking for 17 years. And they don't say, "Here comes our brother Joseph." They say, "Here comes that dreamer." When you hold a grudge against somebody long enough, when you really start to hate them, you don't even think of them as a real person anymore. Here comes Dad's favorite. Here comes the kid with the robe. Here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him and throw him in one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. Fortunately, one of the brothers, Reuben, convinces them not to kill Joseph. But in a couple of twists and turns, he rather arranges for him to be sold off to nomadic travelers as a slave, where he ends up in Egypt. This way, they keep from spilling family blood, and they make a tidy profit instead. And then they take the robe, that beautiful, ornate, embroidered robe they hated so much, tore it, slaughtered a goat and put blood on it, and took the blood-stained robe to their dad. We found this. See now whether it is your son's robe or not. Not our brother's robe, not Joseph's robe, your son's robe. Now there's so much irony in this story. If you go back a generation, you'd know that there was a day when Jacob was young and upset because his father, Isaac, had a favorite son. And Jacob wasn't that, wasn't him. One day, Jacob took a goat's skin and the smelly clothes of his outdoorsman brother, Esau, who was Dad's favorite, and deceived his father. Isaac, being old and blind, thought the smooth-skinned one was really the rough and hairy brother and gave the birthright to the wrong son, initiating a legacy of hatred, division, and pain. And now it happens again. One generation of family brokenness follows another. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son Joseph many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave." And so his father wept for him. This is like a Greek tragedy, right? Nobody wins. Everybody gets hurt. Nobody gets loved. Untold numbers of family fights and failures happen to this day because of rivalry and jealousy and hatred. Multiplied hundreds of divorces and divisions happen in families because wounds never get healed. Divisions and difficulties never get resolved. Nobody's immune. For 17 years, while Daddy paid more attention to little Joey, doting on him, playing with him, letting him stay at home, the hatred has grown. And there's been no confrontation, and there's been no conversation, and now there's just pain. You know, we still do this. We still stuff our feelings. We still avoid the tough conversations. It isn't easy to say I was wrong. Will you forgive me? So these hateful boys take their brother's blood-stained robe, which was once the symbol of their father's love, and turn it into an instrument of torment and agony. And once it's all done and their father's heart is broken, they are no closer to getting what they wanted. They haven't won their father's love at all. They've lost their brother and destroyed their dad. That's what happens when you don't deal with your stuff, when you don't talk about your pain or your differences or resolve the tensions in your family. So what would God want us to learn from a lesson like this? Well, the truth is that no family is perfect. Sooner or later, somehow, somewhere, there have been some bumps and bruises along the way. Have any of them gotten out of control? Is there still any bitterness, unresolved junk that needs to be dealt with? Would you be the one to initiate reconciliation? Have a tough conversation? You know, it's just the way life is. The firstborn child. Have you ever seen the photo album of a firstborn? It's like jam-packed full of pictures. By the time you get to second or third child, it's like, well, here's our album from Bobby. This is the day he was born. We need to get more pictures of Bobby. It's just the way it is. Have you talked about it? Have you dealt with it? Are you dealing with it now? I think there's lessons for people who were the one in your family to wear the robe. You know, the favorite of mom or dad or both. Or maybe you were an only child and the world sort of revolved around you. You know, the truth is you too were damaged in a more subtle way. The need to be the big sheaf, the one to whom everyone bows down. The conversation has to revolve around you. If you're not getting enough attention, it kind of rubs you the wrong way. I can identify with some of that. I had a rather complicated birth family. I have a half-brother and a step-brother, and for a long part of my life, especially in my teenage years, I felt like kind of an only child. And there was stuff I needed to deal with, stuff I needed to talk to mom and dad about, and to my brother about. Perhaps the most important conversation you need to have is with the God who made you and who loves you and who wants you to be the person he created you to be, but not have to be more than that. Then there were those who never wore the robe. You never got that kind of affirmation and attention that others did. Maybe it was because you were a girl. Did you notice that in the last section of the reading that he had daughters as well as sons, but they're hardly ever mentioned? Of course, that was the way things were in the ancient Middle East, but, well, for some families, you know, girls get pushed aside, unvalued, whatever. If that's who you are, you need to know that your Father in heaven loves you with a perfect love. Maybe your sibling was, you know, a straight A student or a beauty queen or a star athlete, and there was just no keeping up, you know. I think there are times when we all need to know that we are loved and treasured. We are special, that God knows our name and knows our stuff, that his fingerprints are all over us, each one of us. You know, the scriptures are clear that God's love includes us all. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. You know, if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ and the Father's love has surrounded you, I challenge you to make that verse personal. See how very much my Father loves me, for he calls me Glenn, his child. And that is who I am. And I want to close this by encouraging every family, every person listening, just take a minute and process it this week. Maybe actually have a conversation within your family this week. Were there things that we said and did that maybe we weren't as careful about as we should have been? And do we need to forgive each other or clear the air with one another or receive fresh grace for the situation we find ourselves in now? There's nothing as beautiful as the healing that comes when we open ourselves and the people we love most to the love of God. Maybe there needs to be an apology. Maybe there needs to be just an expression of deep, irrational, endless love and appreciation for the others in your family. I think one of the coolest things about this Old Testament story is that it has New Testament implications. You know, Jesus Christ is, in one sense, our elder brother, right? The perfect Savior, the one who knows us best and loves us most, and he gave his life for us. That's how much he loves you. And Scripture says that one day, when this life is over, that each of God's people in heaven, in Revelation chapter 6, verse 11, it says, then a white robe was given to each of them. There will come a day when robes will be handed out to all who follow Jesus. There will be no jealousy, no division, no untended wounds, no unresolved conflicts. There will come a day when you will wear the robe made for you by your Father that expresses his infinite love and value toward you. Then we will know what it is to be perfectly loved and held and prized forever. And in the meantime, share his love with one another. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the life lessons we can learn from characters in the Old Testament. I mean, we are all the same. There is the nature of human nature that unites us all. So I pray, especially for anybody who's been wounded by their family, and they perhaps allow that to keep a distance from you. Maybe some kind of bitterness or anger that keeps on keeping on. So Lord, we bring ourselves and our hurt and our wounds to you today. In Jesus Christ, you have paid for them all. And by your stripes, we're healed. Not only physically healed, but emotionally healed, relationally healed. So bring that healing alive in us by the power of your Holy Spirit right now. May we know that we have a Father who loved us, created us, cares about us, and who has a robe with our name on it. And Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ who made it possible. Help us to live for him and love him back and follow him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.